Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Patriots 4th and 2. My name is Russ Goldman from Pat's Confidential. We have an action-packed show today, as we have three other PatsFans.com bloggers with me tonight. It's actually pretty exciting. I've got Steve Balestrieri. Ooh, Steve, I did it again. Steve Balestrieri, Damian Jarrett, and Derek Havens. All the guys are on the line with me tonight. We're going to go through several subjects about the Patriots' victory over the Dallas Cowboys, which was 20-2. I can't believe I'm blanking on the score. Someone help me with the score. I can't believe I just did that.
20-16, yeah. Ross. 20-16.
20-16. I think I need some caffeine. 20-16. Okay. And to be honest with you, I'm very happy with the victory and how I wanted to open this show. So I was just telling the guys here in the Boston media, the focus of the game I thought was going to be about how well the defense played. Unfortunately, it really hasn't turned out that way on sports radio and in the media here. The focus has more been upon the play calling of the Dallas defense. The Dallas offense near the end of the game. And it really bothered me because I thought, especially in this game, the way the defense shut down this high-powered offense, I thought that should have been what the media should really have been harping on. Instead, we got all these discussions today about the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys and Tony Romo. So that's how we're going to open the show. I'm going to ask the guys their thoughts on this subject and what they think about the Patriots defense. So, Derek, I'm going to start with you. I know you probably haven't heard it, but it has been all over here in Boston. It's also been nationally. I've seen it too. What are your thoughts about the fact that this game is really not really being played more about what the Dallas offense didn't do instead of what the Patriots defense did?
Well, just to kick things off, like I mentioned to you earlier, I believe that with the second week in a row that the defense really hasn't gotten a good amount of credit because with 2 weeks ago with the Jets offense kind of lacking play calling, or really good play calling, I should say, from Brian Schottenheimer. And, now it's about the bland kind of offensive scheme and play calling that Jason Garrett called for yesterday's game. And I think, when it should be a banner day for the defense, you're really looking at for the Patriots. You're really looking at the other team, not getting looking at the other team getting the blame instead of the Patriots getting the credit, and I disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it really shocked me today, Derek. I was listening to WEI when I woke up in the morning, and that's what they were all talking about. If they weren't talking about the Red Sox situation, to be honest with you, the Patriots game has really taken a real back seat here in New England, and it's shocking. But when they did talk about the game, it was all about Tony Romo and what Jason Garrett called and the conservative play calling. I'll go to you, Steve. What are your thoughts about this, and did you hear any of this today?
Were you talking to me, Russ?
Yes, Steve. I'm sorry. I was talking to you.
Okay, I'm having a rough time. All of a sudden, my audio is getting really fuzzy here. I could barely understand what you and Derek were saying. I did catch part of what you were talking about, and I think that the mainstream media tended to focus today on what the Cowboys didn't do rather than what the Patriots did do. Now, I will grant you, I thought that they were very conservative in their play calling, and it hurt them going down the stretch. But at the same time, you have to give the Patriots defense credit because they made the stops when they did. And regardless of what Dallas calls, that's on them. That's not the Patriots' fault that Dallas decided to go conservative. But they did a great job yesterday of holding a very potent Dallas offense to 16 points.
You know, Steve, I agree with that, and that's what's and that's what's really bothered me about this. While we were talking before we got online, I could understand it a little bit in the Jets game. You could take away a little bit from the Patriots defense in that game. But this was a completely different animal. This was a real high powered offense, and the Patriots did a wonderful job. And you know, they still had to make the stops. And I think that's what really upset me when I was hearing this. It's like it's like I keep hearing about the 32nd ranked defense. Did these people watch the game? That was my I kept thinking to myself, did they watch the game? Did they see how they played? And we'll get into the defense in a little bit. But it was just that, you know, just that feeling I got nationally, that this lack of respect that the Patriots defense got was really shocking. Damien, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I was really disappointed when I woke up this morning, because there were two things really overshadowing the defense's performance. That was the clutch drive by Tom Brady himself after, you know, the offense was pretty much a non-factor for the majority of the game. And then, of course, this talk about Garrett's play calling during the game. And it really overshadowed the fact that this Patriots defense held a high-powered Cowboys passing attack to 7 points. You know, the rest were all field goals. And to hold them to one touchdown was a major achievement, considering the amount of stick that this defense has been getting. And I really want to start with Jerry Jones's comments, because Jerry Jones came out after this game and questioned Garrett's conservative play calling on that final three and out before our touchdown drive. And you know, what he seems to forget is he's an owner and he's not a coach. And when owners interfere too much in team issues, that tends to hurt the team more than anything. And you never really see Robert Kraft commenting on Bill Belichick's coaching decisions. He tends to stay out of that area as much as he can and not put his coaches down. And when it came to the actual play calling on that last drive, I 100% agree what Garrett did anyway. You know, you've got a 3rd and 18 and you've got a quarterback that's been throwing very poorly in the fourth quarter. You don't want to air the ball out and risk an interception or risk giving Tom Brady 2 timeouts to work with. You want to run a screen play or you want to run a draw, and you want to give your punter a bit more better field position to punt in. And that's, I felt Garrett 100% made the right calls throughout the game. I think the Patriots defense just showed up and made the stops.
You know, that you made some really great points there, Damien. And that's why, again, you know, not to harp back on this, but seriously, you know, you can really look at what Garrett did, and you could say that it was about Tony Romo. But then I was thinking, it also showed me of how his defense played against the Patriots the majority of the game. He was showing to me confidence that his defense would be able to hold up, because he was willing to run the ball, be conservative, because he felt that even if he turned the ball back to the Patriots, that his defense would step up once again. That's the way I looked at it while I'm watching the game. I didn't think at one moment that he was being this ultra conservative coach, because I thought he really did an excellent job. I thought game plans on both sides of the ball were really good for the Cowboys. And if you want to complain, if there is a place for that, obviously there is room to complain about that. But don't take away from the job that the Patriots defense did. I thought they were excellent and definitely not getting the respect that they deserve. And guys, before we move to another subject, we do have a caller on the line, and I want to bring them on and see what they want to talk to us about. You are with us now on Patriots 4th and 2. Do you have a question for us, and where are you calling from?
Hey guys, this is John Morgan over at All Things Pat. How are you guys doing?
Hello,
hey, John.
Hey, how are you? Hey, I just want to, I agree that this bashing of Garrett is ridiculous, first of all. Look at how many points the Pats had scored up to that point. So I don't understand, other than people complaining because they like to complain. I thought Garrett called a good game, and he doesn't deserve any of that bashing. It's not, I'll say the week before when the Raiders punted, that deserves second guessing. But not Garrett and the Cowboys. They played a real good game. I just want to weigh in on that when I was listening while I was waiting. It was one thing I did want to discuss, if we could change the subject a little bit.
Sure.
Chad Ochocinco, he's out there for what? 7 snaps?
7 snaps.
Only one pass targeted at him. I just kind of wonder how long how much longer the Pats do you think are going to, you know, use a roster spot on them?
It's a good question, John. It's funny because up to this game, I really felt that Chad was going to come along, that it was just a matter of time. And I thought in this game, definitely a major step back. I'll give it to you, Derek. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think Chad's definitely been a disappointment this year. 9 catches, if I'm not mistaken, 136 yards on the season. You know, he was targeted, like we all said a second ago, 7 times yesterday. Or no, I'm sorry, he saw 7 snaps yesterday. 4 in the first half, 3 in the second. And, yeah, he's definitely been a disappointment. I put Taylor Price up there as well. And, you know, I really think because he's making a pretty decent amount of money this season and that he's still developing, I would think he'd stay around. But, you know, it definitely is, I don't know, it definitely makes you think about a little bit after that, after this game, after his performance lately. And I think if he's still around, I'd say the trade deadline is Tuesday at 4 p.m., I believe, right? That's which is tomorrow. So I believe by Wednesday afternoon, if there's no news with him, I think he's here for at least the rest of the season.
Okay.
No, I agree with you. I know that we've – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the other thing is don't – you know, you've got the guys that are eligible to come off a PUP, too, at sometime in the next few weeks. Granted, there's no wide receiver there, but
Well, they did just release Ventrone and Sterling – you know, Ross Ventrone and Sterling Moore were both released – about an hour ago, maybe an hour and a half ago. So I think that you might see those two spots being taken up by PUP players, and I would suspect it probably would be defensive lineman Ron Brace and running back Kevin Fault, but that's just an educated guess.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Now, the other thing I was thinking with Ochoa Senkel, too, is if you've got a guy that's only getting on the field on offense, or in his case, or on defense for a few snaps, generally they're they contribute in special teams, but that's obviously working against him as well in terms of taking up a roster spot.
Can I just quickly chime in with something on
Ochoa Senkel? Yeah, absolutely, Damien. You go ahead.
And I want to talk about game planning for this game, because I really feel that the Patriots, in this game anyway, their game plan didn't really suit him to have a breakout game. Now, they only played 6 snaps in 3 wide receiver sets all game out of 72 offensive snaps. And at the end of the day, to expect Chad Ochoa Senkel, especially with no offseason whatsoever, to come into this offense and compete against Branch and Welker, who, you know, Branch is Brady's best friend. I don't think there's any other wide receiver QB chemistry like it in the NFL. And then you've got Welker, who's on course to shatter all sorts of NFL records this season. When the Patriots are only coming out in 3 wide receiver sets 6 times total all game, it doesn't really set Ochoa Senkel up to have a great game. And I wrote about this on PatsFans.com. I think the way the Patriots offense is right now, it's nothing like it was in 2007 or 2008 when the likes of Randy Moss were set up to have great seasons and 1,000-yard double-digit touchdown seasons.
Sure.
Now they're more set up and they revolve around the tight ends. And I was one of those people that didn't think we needed that deep threat. I didn't think we needed Ochoa Senkel. And I was one of those people that when we got him, I was more like, I'm not so sure this guy's going to have as great an impact as some people thought that he was. And I think the expectation is too much. And I think that's really letting him down a little. He hasn't, you know, the drops aren't very, you know, the drops and the wrong route running. That's disappointing, but that will come in time. I just think it's the style of offense that we have now and the game plan, especially in this game, that really let him down.
No,
I mean, I didn't have big expectations for him the way a lot of other fans did myself, but I wasn't expecting this little either.
Mm.
No,
yeah,
exactly.
I agree.
Well, thanks for the question, John, and we really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm glad you guys got this together every week. I really look forward to it. Keep up a good work,
thanks,
guys.
John. We really appreciate that.
All right. Take care, guys.
Okay.
Take care. Take care, John.
See that, man.
And that was John. Okay. All right. Well, that was a very, very interesting question about Chad Ochoa Senkel. I actually, personally, I think he's going to be with the team for the duration. And I know the last game was very disappointing, I don't know why I have this feeling that he's going to come around when it really counts. Maybe I'm just being too optimistic, but I just feel that he's eventually going to get it. I don't see him being Joey Galloway. But right now, I could see why fans might feel that way, because he hasn't produced. He's not getting on the field. But Damian, I think you bring up a good point. In many occasions, it could just be game plan specific. So I think we got to give him a little bit more time. And
I agree as well with Damian. So just to interject real quick, I agree with you, Damian, 100%. You know, there are guys ahead of him on the depth chart, no question. So I think that's definitely hurting the amount of reps he gets on the field. The only real nitpick I would say with him is just the little things like false starts and drop balls and wrong routes. Now, those things will come in time. The routes will come in time, but, you know, procedural errors and fundamentally, like, those mistakes, I mean, he's a veteran, so I certainly expect more from him in that aspect. But I do think that he'll come around, and I share the same thoughts with you, Russ. So.
Oh, thanks, Derek. And I think what we're going to end up seeing is when the trade deadline passes, that he still will be a New England Patriot. I could be wrong, but I highly doubt it. Now, I'd be curious to see if we have another call. If this is John again, so I'm going to bring someone back on the line.
Looks like John's back.
John, are you back with us, or is there someone else joining us? Oh, just dropped the line. that was a little crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay, guys, let's...
my true sense on Chad.
Oh, sorry.
I thought it was
Steve,
very
I'm
interesting
sorry?
That I said to put in my two cents on Chad.
Yep,
I thought
go ahead.
It was very interesting yesterday that Price actually took the field before him. And, you know, now I'm starting to wonder if their game plan, we figured with Dallas they were going to go to tight ends, three tight ends a lot. But I'm starting to wonder if they're changing their offense because they don't have much faith in him, or Price for that matter, because they only threw at Chad once yesterday and they didn't throw to Price at all.
Well, Price is only on the field for one rep the entire game.
Was it just one? I thought he was on for four.
Yeah. No,
according
just
to
one.
Mike Reese. According to Mike Reese, he was
one?
On for one snap. Yep.
Oh, okay.
And the week before against the Jets, he was active and dressed, but he didn't play
at
all.
Play, right.
And so before that, I think it was 18 of 20 games that he was eligible for. He was, you know, not activated at all. So a guy, you know, out of Ohio that I had a lot of faith in really hasn't shown too much, but I know a lot of fans have, you know, high hopes for him. So,
yeah. No, I agree with you on Taylor Price. I haven't given up on him. Guys, it looks like we might have another caller, so let's bring this caller on the line. Hi, you're with us. Where are you calling from, and what is your question?
Well, this is Show _ 1. How you doing, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, Show.
How you doing?
Good. So, you guys, I would give a call, and I'm in traffic right now, so bear with me. I was just
not a problem. What question did you have for us, my friend?
My thing is, I'm listening to what you're saying about Taylor Price, and before calling you, I was listening to another sports show on the radio, and they were talking about Ocho Cinco. And I told someone today, I said, I know that a lot of the Patriot fans are asking for, you know, Ocho Cinco's head. They're looking for Ocho Cinco to get cut or for just to add somebody. But don't you think if there was a better option that Bill Belichick would go for, and that would include putting Taylor Price in the game?
Oh, absolutely.
Just
Derek,
a fan real
you
quick.
Chime in.
Yeah, just a quick interjection. You know, that was one of the things that bothered me a lot about the Brandon Lloyd talk, because, you know, Jay, I don't know if you saw my post this morning, which, you know, actually didn't mean too much because he was traded to the Rams about 2 hours later. But, you know, Jay Glazer of Fox Sports, he reported that the Rams, the 49ers, and Patriots were all interested in Brandon Lloyd. And I thought that spoke more to their thoughts on Ocho Cinco and Taylor Price, you know, thus far. So just a quick note on that, but you can go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with that. A bunch of us on Twitter thought the same thing, that report was actually this ridiculous, because here it is. If they're saying that Ocho could not get the offense, you're bringing in someone brand new and you're expecting him just to learn the offense in a bye week, although he was a product of Josh McDaniels, and he would know it somewhat, but having never played with the Patriots and with the Patriots having tweaked the offense and made it a little bit different because they have a different cast of players, you couldn't expect Brandon Lloyd just, or anybody else for that matter, to come in here and just pick up the offense. One of the things that I want to ask you guys about is Albert Haynesworth. How did you guys like the way Albert actually stepped up yesterday and played, sometimes getting triple teams?
Okay, I'm going to start with this one, then I'll ask the guys. Can I start, guys?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. I actually thought Albert Haynesworth played very well, and he's taken so much criticism. But I saw him move the pocket when he was in there, especially in the fourth quarter. And he's not physically fit yet, but I've seen from week to week him starting to improve. And that's why he's one of the reasons why I think you're going to see the defense really start to get better. Because if he gets to where he needs to be, that middle of the Patriots defense is going to be fantastic. Steve, what are your thoughts so far on Haynesworth?
I thought Haynesworth was very, very strong yesterday. In fact, I thought actually the interior of the defensive line was superb overall yesterday. Because one of the things that people have been doing on the Patriots and how they've got to run on them was they spread them out and then they run up the middle. And yesterday Dallas tried to do that and they got nothing up the middle. They had to revert to try to run to the outside. In fact, their longest run of the day was that scramble by Tony Romo. And other than that, they really got nothing. And I thought the Kyle Love, Haynesworth, Wilford, Gerard Warren, I thought all of them played superb yesterday, especially in the run game. Now, they didn't get a lot of pressure early, after the first quarter, until late in the game, and then Haynesworth and Wilford were pushing the pocket back. I thought they did a great job of that.
No, I agree with you. Damien, do you have anything to add to this?
Yeah, really, just to Steve mentioned the fourth quarter there. The fourth quarter is where the Patriots defense really stepped up and really brought the pressure. There was some pressure in the first quarter, but you know, I was quite disappointed with the consistency throughout the game in terms of pressure. But the interior line, especially in that fourth quarter, really, really stepped up. Like they blitzed they blitzed four times, and I got eight pressures and three QB hits. In fact, they were the only three QB hits of the game, and I saw Haynesworth really pushing that pocket, and he was being double teamed when he was in as well at times, and he was forcing both those guys back, and that's what you really want him to be doing, you know, and taking up those double teams and allowing other people to come in and make plays. And like I say, he got that nice little hit on Tony Romo in the fourth quarter. And Bill Belichick today in his press conference described his performance as encouraging. And I think he's slowly getting to where he needs to be. He wasn't he had a very lackluster off season during the lockout. He didn't prepare well enough, I don't think. But coming to the Patriots has kicked him into gear. And I think he's gradually getting to where he needs to be. And he's only going to get better.
No, I agree. Derek, do you have anything you want to add to that as well?
I pretty much echo the same thoughts that Steve and Damien and you share, Russ. Really, I thought the defensive line play was excellent yesterday. Gerard Warren had a great game. I've been really pleased with Kyle Love's development again this season. He continues to stand out in a positive way. And, you know, Wilford and Haynesworth were really nice in the middle. And in fact, I can't recall which sack it was by Andre Carter, but on one of his sacks, Albert Haynesworth was actually triple teamed on the play. So even if he's not bringing a lot of pressure like we might expect, even though he was in there for a hit yesterday, you know, he is causing other guys to get free. And at the end of the day, that's a great positive for the defense.
No, absolutely. You know, it's funny you mentioned Kyle Love, because I agree with you. I think he stepped up tremendously. He's really helped give them another body for that rotation. I think he's been a huge pleasant surprise. My friend, do you have any other questions for us?
Yes. Just listening to what you guys were talking, how, and you made an excellent point, Haynesworth was getting a lot of criticism, but I believe that Belichick was actually just bringing him along slowly, making sure that, you know, he didn't rush him, knowing that he probably wasn't in the best shape that he you know, could be in. And the thing is, this is not a sprint, it's a marathon, so he's definitely getting him ready for December. I'm thinking that the same thing could be said of Ocho Cinco, which is why they're probably being a little bit more patient with him. But just flip back to defense one more time. Defense is improving.
Sure.
But what do you guys think of the secondary? I still see McCourty getting beat some. I still see missed tackles. I have some concerns about the secondary, and I'd like to know what you guys think about that.
Absolutely. It's funny because I had a question that I was going to ask the guys about the secondary, and that will lead to a really good discussion about it. Because Ty Law last night on Sports Sunday was talking about the Patriots secondary and was a little disappointed because they played a soft zone. And didn't think that it was a bad performance, but just he would rather them play man-to-man. So I will start with you, Derek. What did you think of the play of the secondary in the game?
Well, there's certainly a lot to talk about for, you know, in this kind of aspect of the game. For starters, I agree with Ty Law that I would like to see more man, and I would like to see them play more bump and run coverage, you know, more press coverage. But unfortunately, you saw Devin McCourty get abused when he did that at the beginning of the season, and his improvement, which was the last week and against the Raiders where he played a little bit better, was in more of a zone scheme. And I think that maybe he has, you know, we're not privy to the kind of individual assignments that guys get to, you know, the Patriots sign, you know, the members of the secondary. So that does kind of hurt our analysis from time to time. But, you know, overall, you know, I think McCourty's coming along. He's definitely struggling. And as far as the missed tackling goes, I mean, that's been a pretty big issue the last 2 weeks. And, you know, especially that Lauren Robinson play up the sideline really sticks out in my head. You know, where McCourty was a couple yards behind him, and then fell. He couldn't make the tackle on the sideline, and Robinson continued to go up. You know, McCourty's one of the best tackling corners in the NFL, in my opinion. You know, he reminds me a lot of Charles Woodson in that aspect, but he's been struggling with that. I think the defense needs to really work on that during the bye week. And you know, the only other thought I'll say before I pass it along to someone else is that I think James Ahedebo has played really well in the last 2 weeks at the safety spot. I think the only play that Ahedebo really has stood out in a bad way is, you know, that play at the corner route in the third quarter last week against Antonio Holmes when him and Kyle Arrington completely blew that assignment. And but I think otherwise, you know, Josh Barrett and Sergio Brown have been so bad that I think James has added a little bit more stableness to a kind of a shaky and low depth position. You know, it's definitely a weak link in the Patriots roster so far, but I think I've been pretty pleased with him the last couple of weeks.
No, I actually agree with you. Now, working off this conversation, I go to you, Damian. Another thing that Ty Law was mentioning, playing this soft zone, he described it as basically being pitch and catch. You know, basically it would allow them to, to basically just play back and let the play come to them. And he obviously does not like that play. Do you think that type of strategy of playing zone worked against the Cowboys?
It worked to an extent in the terms of I didn't see Dez Bryant beating us deep. I was my one concern was seeing Dez Bryant torch our corners and taking it 70 yards for a touchdown, something like that. That was my worst case. That was like one of the things that I was really worried about seeing in this game, and we didn't see that. Now, I do agree with Tyler. It really is, when you're playing a soft zone, it really is pitch and catch, and you really rely on your defensive line to get pressure and force the QB to make a bad throw, because if you don't get pressure and you are playing a soft zone, there's gaps in zone coverage. That's the issue that zone coverage brings forward. And if you don't get the pressure, and average QBs are going to find the gaps in your zone, and good receivers like Miles Austin and Dez Bryant, they're going to find the spaces in the zone, and they're going to sit in there, and they are going to pick you apart gradually. I would like to see more man coverage. Like I say, like Derek said, it was, you know, McCourty really got burnt quite a few times against big physical receivers early on in the season, but I'd still like to see more of it. You know, I really want Rasai Dowling to come back because I thought he looked tremendous manned up against Brandon Marshall in week one, and especially down at the goal line when they targeted him twice. And I really think with his size, he's going to be able to add. He'll enable the Patriots to be a little more aggressive because I think he's going to be a tremendous press coverage corner.
No, I actually agree with you about Dowling. It's unfortunate. I was at the San Diego game when he got hurt, but he shows great promise, and that might be another reason why we're starting to see the zone, along with McCourty's problems against large receivers. Steve, I'll give it to you. What are your thoughts about the secondary in general, and then our discussion on the soft zone?
I was kind of a little disappointed yesterday with the overall secondary play because I thought that after the Jets came, I thought they had made a huge stride forward, and especially after the Oakland game as well. And then yesterday, McCourty to me looked like he's just struggling really bad, and I watched Ty Law as well last night, and, you know, he made a really valid point, and he said he thinks that, you know, McCourty's having a confidence problem because he's there and then he hesitates. And he didn't look good yesterday. And Chung, I thought, played very well, except on that one long play that Dez Bryant had along the sideline where, you know, he just took a bad angle. Guyton slipped and fell down. And then it turned into, I think it was like a 35 or 40-yard gain. Overall, the secondary, yeah, they were in that soft zone. I really don't want to see them go back to man-to-man. I would like to see them press the zones a little closer to the line of scrimmage, though, because that soft zone just gives you way too much room underneath.
No, I agree with you. I was actually disappointed that they were playing that zone because it, you know, there was all that area for them to play with now. But, you know, I understand why Belichick probably decided to do with it, and he just didn't want to get burnt, and it allowed them to just, you know, I hate to use this word, but I think it's the bend but don't break. And he's gone back to it.
Yeah.
And it actually bothers me that we're going back to something that I wish we would get away from. I agree with Ty Law. I want to see them pressing. I want to see them get in the face of the receivers and take our shots that way. I could take being burnt once or twice if it pays off in the long run. You know, I mean, of course, Belichick is not going to look at it that way, but that's the way that I feel. Okay, my friend, what did you think about our discussion, or do you have anything else to add?
Well, I'm agreeing with you, but I'm thinking one of the reasons why Belichick is not playing the press, and let me say, I agree with everybody. I wish he would play the press. I wish he would get away from the defense he's playing, and please never, ever, ever let them play prevent defense again. They have the worst prevent defense in the NFL. Sorry. But I think one of the reasons why he doesn't do the press is because of the safeties. I mean, our safeties are not very good. We could get burned more times than not. And because of that, that's probably predicating on why he's doing what he's doing. I think if we had better safeties that he could trust, that would take proper angles, could tackle, would not over-pursue or just be way off the ball, that he would probably do more. And that's my thinking on that. My last thought, we talked about this yesterday when I called in offensive play call. That's one of Russ and mine favorite topics on Twitter, Mr. Bill O'Brien, and we were talking about Charlie Weiss yesterday, guys. What did you guys think of the play calling yesterday, honestly? I thought that it could have been a lot better. You know, I don't mind them running the ball. I prefer them running the ball, having a balanced attack, but I just didn't think the play calling, in my opinion, was really good yesterday. So what are you guys' thoughts?
Well, let me start because, again, this is going to be another topic, so you just brought me to another topic because I was going to bring up I was going to bring up the play calling, but I was also going to bring up, and I'll start with you, Derek, your thoughts on the play calling, and also about using the hurry up in certain situations and then going back to the traditional offense. What are your thoughts about the play calling in that in those situations?
Well, like you guys, I get frustrated sometimes with the play calling by Bill O'Brien, although I think he's oftentimes not given the credit he deserves, but is criticized pretty heavily. But I do think that's for good reason in some cases. But, you know, really, not much to the play calling as to the balance. I've enjoyed the balance on offense the last couple of weeks. For example, yesterday they threw 41 times and carried the ball 25 times. That's even a little bit more, you know, heavy pass that they've been doing this week compared to the last 2 weeks. But I've been liking the way they've been mixing it and keeping the defense, you know, honest. But really, I don't really have too much more thoughts on it than that.
Okay. Damian, what are your thoughts?
I was quite happy with, in terms of Bill O'Brien's play call, and I was actually generally quite happy. I think, you know, the 25 runs we had, you know, I think we had success on the run. I think we called the runs at the right times. What I was disappointed was when Brady took over in the no huddle. Now, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think when Tom Brady was going in that no huddle, he was calling his own plays, and he was, and it's his job to audible into the run. Now, when we were going through that no huddle, I was, you know, and we were passing it downfield to start with, I was shouting at the TV for a run play. And I felt when we were in that no huddle and we got them in a favourable look, I don't think we really, you know, we have Woodhead in the backfield with us, and I don't think we did run it enough in those sort of situations. But in terms of Bill O'Brien actually himself said today that admitted that he felt with the Ocho, with Ocho's during the passing, which Ocho ran a bad route, he said he got the play call wrong. So, you know, he has come out today and admitted himself that he felt he got one call wrong. But I don't think we could have really run it much more. If anything, when we were in that no-huddle with Tom Brady, I'd like to see him check down to the run a little bit more.
Very interesting thoughts. Steve, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I pretty much felt the same way Damian did. I thought when they went to that really quick no-huddle and Dallas was milling around and doing that, I would have thought they would have ran the ball more than they did. And I would have thought they would have snapped the ball a lot faster while Dallas was still standing up, because that's the perfect time to block somebody for a running play while they're standing up, because you can get leverage on them and push them back. But, of course, I'm not seeing on television what Tom Brady's saying, you know, in the huddle or on the field there. So, you know, he saw something that he obviously didn't like, or something where the secondary was lined up. So they called more passing plays, but I still thought their balance was pretty good yesterday. I mean, Dallas was the number one team and against the run, and they ran 25 running plays for just over 100 yards, and that's to me was pretty good. I mean, was it perfect? No, but it was still pretty good, and I thought that helped them to stay in the game, because I think that they were bringing a lot of pressure. I think they smacked Brady like 16 times yesterday.
Yeah.
But
well,
I thought
let me
overall
ask,
the balance was okay.
Okay. Well, let me work off that. Let me ask our caller, what are your thoughts? Are you concerned about, we're talking about the offense, so let me ask you a question about the offensive line. I'm concerned about it. This is two weeks in a row that they've really hit Brady. Are you concerned about the offensive line?
I'm very concerned with their offensive line. A lot of times, and I've told people this, there are a lot of times, if you go to the games where you will see Brady get pummeled, you come back and you look at the tape of the game that you taped, and the TV is not showing it. They're very concerned. Hopefully, and that's where running the ball a little bit more definitely helps. I was agreeing with, I think it was Derek that said that, you know, a couple times I wish they would have snapped it quicker when Dallas was obviously confused because they were trying to run players in, run them out. They were standing around, looking around. At that point, snap the ball, run it down their gut. They're confused. But, you know, it's
you have to look at the personnel. I mean, you have Conley at center right now, and
right.
and he's right. basically a super reserve. I think the more and I read this today, and I agree with it. Someone had said on Twitter, the more Conley starts, the less effective he is. And I think that they need to, and I won't go off on a tangent, but I think they really need to address the center position in the draft, even if Copeland comes back 100% healthy. They need some type of mauler in there that can push the pile and that can really protect. You have a couple of younger players in there. And Soldier, I mean, he's just really getting his feet wet and acclimated, so you can't really, you know, think that at this point he's going to be that stopgap. Light is getting older, and Light has always had problems with speed rushers. So it's something with it that they're going to have to do, either their protection scheme or a combination of protection and play calling to try to, you know, to help Grady out a little bit. Because if this keeps happening, you know, he very well could be out one or two games, because one of these times he gets smacked, you know, he might not get up as fast as we like. So I'm very concerned, just to answer your question, very.
No, I'm glad that you did, because I wasn't sure if I was the only one that felt that way after these last couple games. I felt pretty good before that. Again, we're dealing with very aggressive defenses, but if we all want the Patriots to be where we want them to be, they're going to be facing a good defense. And these two performances by that offensive line is just not good enough. Steve, what are your thoughts about the offensive line? Am I making too much of this?
No, no. In fact, we spoke about this, I believe. I don't know if it was on the show last week or when you and I were talking offline about the Patriots' problems in the playoffs, and the way to beat Tom Brady is not to bring pressure from the outside, is to bring pressure right up the middle.
Right.
Because if you bring pressure from the outside, Brady is the best at just making that one step up and stepping forward and throwing the ball. If you bring pressure right up the middle and then you're forcing him to run to the outside, he is not effective that way. That's not Tom Brady's game. And we saw the Ravens do that. We saw the Giants do that back in the Super Bowl. And that's where the Patriots are the weakest in their offensive line, is the pressure right up the middle. And I haven't seen anything to alleviate that. And to me, that's still the biggest weakness of the offensive line. And I know when they play the Ravens, that's where they're going to try to, well, if they play the Ravens in the playoffs. But, well, they do. No, they don't play the Ravens this year. They play Pittsburgh next week. But Pittsburgh tends to blitz more from the outside. And that doesn't worry me as much. I mean, you don't want that free rusher coming. And like
right.
Joe said, Matt Light has always, always struggled with speed rushers. And he was taken to the school a couple of times yesterday by Ware. But overall, he didn't do too badly. But, you know, Brady got hit way too many times. 16
no,
times.
No, absolutely.
Is too
absolutely.
Much.
No. Well, it's good to know that I'm not the only one that's a little concerned about this. Damian, what are your thoughts about the offensive line?
Yeah, I agree with the concerns. I mean, the last couple of weeks, Tom Brady's certainly been hit way too much for many Patriots fans' liking. I'm kind of one of those people at the moment just sitting there and saying, you know, just hold on a minute. We've played the Ryan brothers in back-to-back weeks. And Robin Rex Ryan have us totally figured out, but they're thereabouts. And Rob Ryan last year was held us to under 30 points, and Rex Ryan held us to under 30 points. And last year they caused us problems as well. So I'm kind of just, you know, that they seem to have our number at the moment in terms of that area, and they're both geniuses when it comes to defense. And I'm pretty sure they share the odd little snippet with each other about us as well. They're definitely crafty like that. But you know, I'm just, I want to, you know, they're two teams that, or two off defensive minds that have been causing us problems recently. And I'm prior to that, offensive line really wasn't a concern at all. So I just want to kind of see how they go over the next couple of weeks. Now, if they continue against Pittsburgh to struggle after the bye week, then I may start getting a little more concerned. But right now, I just want to see how they come out after the bye week and how they deal with Pittsburgh, and then I'll start drawing my conclusions from it.
No, Damien, you actually bring up a great point. You know, listen, the last 2 weeks, Ryan Brothers, I didn't even go that way, and like you definitely make valid points there. You know, let's see how they're going to be the next couple of weeks. Derek, what are your thoughts on the offensive line? Could it just be the Ryan brothers, or could it be a deeper issue?
I'd say both. And first off, I'd like to say that Damien and Steve both bring up great points. Personally, although I do think it could be a little bit of the Cowboys personnel and the Jets personnel, I would be looking more toward the Copen injury. And I just talked about this on Twitter about an hour ago. And, you know, I mean, I really think Dan Connolly's done a good job so far this season replacing Copen. But to me, Connolly kind of reminds me of Barry Guyton in the fact that they're both very versatile and solid backups. But the longer they start, the more they seem to struggle. Now, I think Connolly this year has done a pretty good job, but I think that his play is not up to the same level that Copen's is, and that could be hurting Logan Mankins a little bit. I think Matt Light has done okay. He looks like he's aged a little bit more this season. And, you know, I think Mankins played pretty well at the beginning of the season, but has struggled the last week or two. He got outright beat yesterday, which I haven't seen. You know, that doesn't happen to him very often. And, you know, Nate Solder has had about a holding penalty pretty much every game he's played. But I think besides that holding penalty, he's played fantastic. I mean, really, I think this kid's really coming along great. You can see why he was drafted so high. And I think he's a really good, you know, kind of developmental project for the next couple of years. But at the same time, I think Brian Waters, I think he's probably been our best offensive lineman this year. I think he's been a fantastic acquisition, you know, from the team standpoint. And, you know, really, he's played fantastic. And, you know, based on everything that happened yesterday, I would agree about the whole pressure up the middle compared to the sides. I agree with that 100%. I do think it's a concern, but at the same time, I think they'll get that figured out. And I think the Patriots will be okay moving forward.
Well, I certainly hope you're right, Derek. That up the middle defense coming at the center does concern me. And watching Logan Mankins, I was actually shocked to see him get beat like that at the guard position. And you bring up a valid point about Dan Connolly. Maybe he just is just a very good backup. But the more he plays, the more he gets exposed. Similar to you bring up Gary Guyton. That transitions me back to the defense. As we only have less than 15 minutes left, guys, if it's okay with you, I'd like to spend the last several minutes talking about the defense. And I'll start with my guest caller calling in. Tell me on the defense in this game, who was the standout and who was the major disappointment for the defense against the Cowboys? Did he drop the line?
Show, you still there?
Show, you there?
Yeah, here I am. Sorry about that. Technical difficulty.
Oh, that's okay.
I heard the question. I was actually answering the question, but I had accidentally pressed the mute button. Sorry, guys. In my opinion, I think that McCourty was the person that really struggled. I mean, and it's been brought out, you guys have brought it out earlier in this show, that how much he struggled, whether it's a confidence problem, whether it's a thing of where he's covering a better receiver now instead of covering the third receiver, he's covering a lot of time the number one or the number two receiver. He's really struggling. The person that really impressed me, and I talked about it earlier, was Albert Haynesworth. I mean, he's not all the way there yet, but anytime you're a player and you're triple teamed, I don't care what position you are, if you're triple teamed, you're doing something. Because if you're triple teamed, you're allowing your defensive ends and your linebackers and your other people on the line to do that much more. Mm-hmm. I think that the more he gets in shape, and the more he plays, I really expect big things out of him. So my vote goes to Albert Haynesworth as, you know, the player that I was really most impressed with yesterday.
You know, you bring up a great name, because I was very impressed as well with Haynesworth for me personally, before I go to the rest of the guys, the player I was most impressed with was Andre Carter. Andre Carter, I played his best game and showed us a glimpse of what he might be able to bring the rest of the season. And it wasn't just rushing the pass, it was just an overall performance. I thought he was the player of the game on the defensive side of the ball. The person who disappointed me, and I spoke to a few of you about this, was Gary Guyton. As I believe Derek mentioned, he is basically a reserve. He is good in passing situations, but I think he's really getting exposed right now, especially on rundowns. I think he's getting blown off the ball. I think he's also taking bad angles, and I'm just hoping that that our starting middle linebacker comes back very soon, because Jerod Mayo is needed. I think that's pretty obvious. Steve, I'll go to you with that. What are your thoughts on my question?
For the best player, I have a hard time arguing with Andre Carter. I thought last week against the Jets he played his best game because I thought he was outstanding in the running game, and I thought he just improved upon it this week. I thought he was great in the running game. I thought he was really good in the passing game. But overall, the entire defensive line, I thought yesterday, really stepped up. I thought the entire defensive line, that was their best overall game, especially when you talk about Haynesworth and that one play being triple teamed. I mean, like Show said, when you have a guy being triple teamed, that means you have the attention of the offensive coordinator on the other side. And if you have one guy getting triple teamed, that's leaving somebody open to make plays. And in fact, with the play of the defensive line, I thought Spikes played really well yesterday, regardless of what Ron Borges has to say about him. I know Ron can't stand Spikes. I don't know why. I thought Spikes the last 2 weeks has played really, really well. My disappointing player, again, was McCourty. You're the Patriots' top cover guy, and you can't be having your back to the ball as often as he has. And I thought he really struggled yesterday, where he showed a lot of signs of playing much better, I should say, against the Jets. And I thought yesterday was a step back in a big way for him.
No, I agree with you on McCourty. It definitely was not one of his better performances. I'm going to go to you, Damian. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to side with you on Gary Guyton. I mean, I don't think it's entirely his fault. I think we've said this before on the show. He's not a three-down back. But what I will say is, considering he isn't a three-down back, and he is struggling on certain plays, he has made a couple. He's not made some big plays, but, you know, he is making tackles. And you know, this is a defense that shut down the Jets running game pretty well, and I think if you take away Romo's run in this game, the Cowboys are having 2.6 yards a carry, and whilst obviously, as Steve says, the defensive line play has a lot to do with that, you know, the linebacking core does as well. And that leads me on to my best player, and that's Brandon Spikes. He was playing middle linebacker the entire game. And the middle linebacker calls the plays, and you know, and he was out there, and it looked like he was directing players, and on top of that, he was leading by example, and he was making plays, and he put an offensive lineman straight onto his ass in that fourth quarter, and he was playing with a rocket off his backside, and he made some nice tackles. He was slowing running backs down, and some people sit there and say he was shaky in pass coverage just now. I didn't see it. I thought he did absolutely fine in pass coverage. So, you know, for me, he was the best player on that defense. I could say Andre Carter as well. He was fantastic in all phases of the game as well. You know, he was my player to watch from our preview show. And, you know, and those two definitely stood out the most.
Good choices. How about you, Derek?
Can you guys hear me? I got dropped for a second.
That's okay. I brought you back in, my friend.
Sorry about that. What I was going to say was, for one, I mean, Andre Carter is definitely up there. I agree with Steve about you know, the whole defensive line. And I was going to say Brandon Spikes would be a little different, so I'll just kind of echo some of Damian's thoughts, because I agree with what you said. And one of the funny things I was going to say is, it'd be really cool if you could combine Guyton and Spike, because with their skill sets and strengths and weaknesses, you could make a pretty good linebacker if you form those two into one. But you know, I think Spike has gotten taken advantage of in pass coverage the past couple of weeks, although, like Damian said, I think he played better in pass coverage yesterday than he had previously, and that's definitely one of his weaknesses. Although I really liked what he brought to the table, and, you know, I thought he was flying around. And, you know, as far as weaknesses, I agree with Steve. I mean, you got to look at Devin McCourty. I penciled him in this season, offseason, as a, you know, even though I didn't think he would have the interceptions that he did last year, I figured he was a, you know, a for sure, you know, starter. We could count on him as him, Mayo, and Will Fork. I penciled them in as a great player for this defense, and he's really struggled. And now I think he's too good of a player not to come around. And I have full confidence he's going to come around and make a difference on this team, and he will be a factor moving forward. But I think he has struggled, and I'm not sure, like I mentioned earlier, you know, maybe he's had more responsibility this year than last year, and Belichick's asking him to do certain things, but that certainly doesn't forgive some of the mistakes he's made so far, and I don't want to make excuses for him, but I do think he'll come around. But the defensive line and the defense in general, they played their most complete game, in my opinion, yesterday. Besides the missed tackles, that was the biggest issue. You know, they forced turnovers. They got pressure on the quarterback. You know, they were 4-for-12 on third down. I don't think anyone's mentioned that yet today. They got off the field, you know, when they needed to. And I really liked, you know, I know Brandon Spikes kind of added some of his energy, and I love how he does that. He had a little bit of attitude. After people made a play, you know, there was a little camaraderie on the defense. And I think that's definitely good to get that, you know, get that confidence level up. I like the attitude. You know, I think this defense needs an attitude adjustment, and I think Brandon Spikes can definitely go ahead and bring that. And I think that hopefully more people follow suit, because I think if this builds that confidence, builds that kind of swagger, you know, and they can go ahead and play, and you keep teams from, 20 points or less, I think this team's unstoppable.
No, I agree with you. And that's basically, I really wanted to get a little bit deeper into the defense, and maybe we can on our next show, and we have a few minutes left. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to throw this out to everyone. And this goes, this is basically about the defense, because I have confidence that this defense might not be championship-driven or championship defense now. It could be in the near future. But before I go to my final question, it looks like we might have a caller, and I might know this person, so we put him on. You're on live with us. Who's calling, and where are you calling from?
Brandon, and I'm from Denver, Russ. How are you?
Brandon, how you doing? I work with Brandon, by the way. Thank you for calling in, Brandon. Thank you for calling into my show. You're not a Patriots fan, so I really want to know what kind of question you have for us.
Well, my question for you is, what are the Patriots going to do about Mr. Ocho Cinco?
Mr. Ocho Cinco. Well, we were talking about it before you came on. We talked a good deal about Ocho Cinco, because we believe that Ocho Cinco is probably going to be on the Patriots the rest of the season. That part of the reason why you're not seeing him being featured as much is because of basically game plan specific reasons. They're not going with more wide receiver sets that would fit his skill sets. And that might be part of the reason why you're not seeing it. Plus, I think he's still getting up to speed on the offense. But I don't think he's a bust, and I think he's going to pay dividends later on in the season.
Great, that's awesome.
Anything else you want to add, Brandon?
Well, I'm a Bengals fan, so you know.
You're a Bengals fan.
I mean, we're off to a great start this year, and you know. Something tells me that the Pats and the Bengals just might see each other this year if I get lucky. It's a good Christmas.
Well, we'll see about that, Brandon. Thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Okay, I wasn't expecting that, guys, and that's actually someone I work with, so that was an added bonus. Are you guys ready to hang around for for another couple minutes for let me give you guys one closing question?
Sure.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Yes,
okay. I want to end this. I want to end this with the defense. I was listening to WEEI today, and listening to the Dennis and Callahan show. And I don't care if this person ever listens to my show, because I'm going to say that this person knows absolutely nothing about football. His name's John Mita Perrell. Started really criticizing the Patriots defense, and I don't think he knows defense from offense. But he said that this defense is not a championship defense, probably won't be. Very easy question. Can you see this defense being ready for a championship run if the offense, you know, the offense is going to be there? Can the defense meet them there at some point this season? I'll start with you, Shell.
I believe so. I'm not going to say that the defense is going to be perfect and they're going to have the best defense, especially statistically in the league, but when you have a player, and I don't want to talk a broken record, when you have a player like Haynesworth, the more Haynesworth plays, the better he plays, the better that defense is going to become. Vince Wilfork is playing at such a high level right now, and I think that Ellis and Carter, you know, they're going to only get better. Keep in mind that, you know, they're really going more of a 4-3 scheme, and they're learning on the go. They're basically no mini camps and really – they're kind of like learning on the go, and they're becoming a more cohesive unit. Derek made an excellent point that I just want to expound upon, is when it's about Brandon Spikes and his attitude. If you looked at some of the better Patriot defenses, they had a little bit of attitude, a little bit of nastiness, and that's what I like. When, you know, Haynesworth can be very nasty, Spikes can be very nasty, Wolfwork can be very nasty, so I think that can actually catch on. So I think that my answer is definitely going to be yes. They can definitely have a championship defense.
Okay, Steve, I'll bring that to you.
Yes, I think the potential is there. And, you know, the biggest thing I look at is teams tend to wear down at the end of the season. And the Patriots have a lot of bodies in that defensive line because they can play Haynesworth, they can play Wilfork, and then they can substitute them with Kyle Love and Gerard Warren. They have Carter. They can substitute Anderson. I mean, Sean Ellis. I mean, they have a lot of people that can play in that. And I think if these guys start to gel, and we saw a little bit of that yesterday, that this defense has the potential to be very, very good. And I agree with Show 100% with Brandon Spikes. I watched Spikes back in college. He was the one guy I wanted the Patriots to draft because he has that mean streak in him, and he has that mean streak in the run game that I like. I like seeing guys who like to destroy the running game, and nothing can demoralize a team more than seeing a running play blown up in the backfield, and I think he brings that. We're going to have to see some improved play out of the secondary to be sure, especially at the safety position. And Devin McCourty. But I think, yeah, if they can stay healthy and Lee Bodden and Dowling can stay healthy, then this team with this offense can go a long, long way.
You know, I agree with you. And the one thing that I wanted to mention before I get to the other guys about the defense, when I was watching this game, it reminded me of a game I went to in 2003. It was in Denver. I went to that Monday night game. And the defense wasn't perfect, similar to this. And Richard Seymour didn't end up playing. But you know what I saw in that game that made me feel confident that this season could be special? It was the combination of both the defense and the offense rallying at the end of the game to get a victory. And that's why I feel that this could be a championship defense, because they showed me something in this game. They showed me that they could put the offense in position to win a game. They did this in 2003 and 2004. I know people have said today that they've seen it, you know, they've seen it recently. They saw it last year. Maybe. But I haven't seen something like that victory yesterday, I want to say, since 2004. And I think the defense has a great deal to do with that. So I think it does have the potential to be a championship defense. It isn't now, but it doesn't mean that it can't become that. Derek, what are your thoughts about the defense? And can it get to that level?
Kind of going off what you guys have said, what Cho had said, and kind of elaborating on what I had mentioned a little bit ago about the attitude, I think that's actually kind of a big key because just going off that, you know, when you watch other games around the NFL, some of the defenses you see have that kind of that mentality, that, you know, have that attitude like I was talking about. And so, you know, sometimes with the Patriots, they get frustrated because they seem to have all the potential, but then they just kind of go out there, do their job on defense, but they don't really seem – they just kind of walk back to the huddle. They don't really have any kind of celebration after a big play. You know, there's really not – like, they just seem like they're just kind of going out there, and they're just like, okay, the offense will take care of us. I'd like them, like they did yesterday, to have a little bit more of, you know, a little bit more attitude and energy, because I think they do have a lot of potential. And I think that once you start to see these guys gel, and I think maybe you're starting to see that now, because it does take a couple weeks for, you know, guys to kind of know how other players are, you know, playing and, like, what their tendencies are and things like that, and they're coming together as a cohesive unit. You know, I think once they do come together, you're going to see a little more production from the pass rush, and the pass rush will help the coverage. And I think that, you know, I definitely think that this defense has the potential with the kind of offense the Patriots have to go ahead and go far into the playoffs. And so that's what my thoughts are for on that.
Thanks, Derek. And I guess we're pretty much all on the same page, but I will leave it to Damian. Your thoughts on the defense, and can it be a championship-style defense at some point?
Absolutely. I think we've already started to see it come together gradually, and I think we're starting to see it come together, and we're starting to see a change in philosophy. I spoke to you earlier. I go over the defense after every game, and I work out the formations, and I work out the pressures, I work out everything. And we have not, no matter how much people talk about us switching to a base 4-3, we just haven't even been, we've barely been in it. 3-3-5 has been our base defense for the previous games. Up until now, where nearly half of our plays yesterday were in base 4-3. And we're starting now to see, I think the shortened off-season, the fact that we didn't have an off-season with the lockout and all these new acquisitions meant the Patriots have really been very behind on defense. They have stated their intention to make that switch to the 4-3 from the 3-4, but it had to come together, and it started off slow, as a lot of people really predicted with the Patriots. But now you're starting to see the Patriots implementing their changes, and they're starting to have more and more success. And what people don't seem to forget is that they're a very young defense. That is an extremely young secondary. It's a newish secondary because so many pieces that were there last year aren't there anymore. And so that was always going to take time to gel. And we've brought in a lot of new defensive linemen and things like that, and it takes time. And the fact, and with all that change and turnover that we went through on defense, the fact that we had no off-season with the lockout and just the preseason to work with, that really didn't help us. And now you're seeing all that come to fruition. And gradually, as the season goes on, it's just going to get better and better. And we sit here and talk about constantly the Patriots are last in yards allowed, this, that, and the other. They're 10th in fewest points allowed right now. So they're already, and at the end of the day, I don't care how many yards they give up. If they're top 10 in fewest points allowed, I'm happy, and that's where they are at the moment. And I think they're only going to get better, and I think that stat's only going to get better. And I never look at the yards. Yards, that kind of stat, really, they say stats for losers, that stat is for losers, really. You want to look at the points scored and the points that you've allowed. And considering the fact that we're now 10th in fewest points allowed per game, that's a huge stat for us, and I think that's only going to improve as well.
Listen, I agree with all of you, and especially what you just said, Damian, about the points. I think the big thing that I noticed, and I think we've all have basically been talking about, aggressiveness. And this is what I thought we would see from the beginning. I think Bill Belichick teased us in the preseason, and I have this theory about that we were going to see this aggressive 4-3 attacking style defense this season, and it really hasn't turned out that way. We saw it against Tampa Bay in the preseason. It seems so long ago. I think what ended up happening, believe it or not, was the Detroit Lions. I think because they did come out and they tried to do that, and they got their doors blown off. Again, it's a preseason game, but it was the third game. I think he got a little gun-shy and went back to being a little bit conservative. And I don't think we've even seen a sniff of that. Maybe a little bit yesterday. I think we did see some of that yesterday because we saw some stunts. We saw a lot of blitzing. We did see a little bit of that yesterday.
And I'm
so maybe Bill Belichick is now letting the reins off a little bit. But we haven't seen it to the point that I think I want to see it, that I hope you guys want to see it too. That's one of the reasons why the potential is there, because I think they're missing one little thing, and it's called swagger, that aggressiveness. If they get that, I think the defense is really going to be good to go. And I don't think it's that far off from being there. You know, I mean, if they start really showing more of an aggressive style of defense, I think this could be a special season. Well, listen, guys, I want to thank you so much for your time tonight. We've gone way over. I actually added more time just in case so we could talk. We could let the show go. But I think it's time to call it a night and say thank you to my guest show. Thank you for calling in and staying the entire time. I really appreciate that. I want to say thank you to you first.
No problem. It was good talking to everybody, Derek and Damian and Steve and Eric and yourself.
Well, thank you. To Derek, Damian, and Steve, thank you very much for joining me tonight. This is, we've now done this now for a few weeks, and doing a show like this was really a dream of mine. I wanted a show that I could just talk about the Patriots with some friends and really break down the games, and I know the shows are only going to get better. I'm in the process of trying to book us some guests and really upping the ante, and this is a work in progress. I'm trying to get a format down, so bear with me as we try to make this show better. But I enjoyed it tonight, and I want to thank you guys again, and thank everyone for listening, and we'll be back very soon for another episode. Thank you again, and good night.